So if you are in that stage in your life where you're trying to figure out what's next for your aviation journey, your aviation career, then this one is for you. However, I want you to know, young Padawan, that there is more to aviation than airlines. A lot more. So that's what we're going to talk about today, my friends. Hello, aviators. Welcome to this unique and in-depth episode of The Aviator's Guide. I'm Holly Blino, and as always, I'm here to do what I can to help you in your pilot journey. First off, I'd like to apologize for having been MIA for a while. Things have been pretty crazy on my end over here, like us moving into our new house, but I am super excited to get back into this with you guys and helping you guys out with these episodes. Today's episode is really an ode to what this podcast is all about, and that's not only to help you guys become the best pilots you can be, but to make sure you're going in the right direction for your career as you'd like to. So I'm going to be discussing all of the awesome companies that were at Women in Aviation in Colorado in March of this year, and that's going to be telling you other options that you can consider if you don't want to go to the airlines, and I'll also be including some pro tips that I learned from the recruiters or the people representing each company at the booths. So if you are in that stage in your life where you're trying to figure out what's next for your aviation journey, your aviation career, then this one is for you. This WAI conference I went to in March was my first aviation conference, and I must say I was quite impressed. With the efficiency, the organization, the turnout, everything was incredible. It was such a blast to have all these inspiring individuals and like-minded people who are all obsessed with aviation in one place. Not to mention, I loved connecting with my fellow female aviators. There was an overwhelmingly beautiful sense of camaraderie. I went to WAI this year to support and volunteer for a group that I'm a part of called AAAP, Arab American Aviation Professionals. And no, you do not have to be Arab to join, just like most other aviation groups, such as LPA, NGPA, PAPA. You do not have to be Asian, gay, or Latino to join those groups, just like most groups. These groups are here to support you, to foster connections, and to help the next generation of pilots. So if you're not a part of one, go ahead and join one. I'm a pilot mentor for AAAP, so it's my job to give advice to my mentees along their pilot journey. But today, I'm here to mentor all of you guys, especially those who are ready to get their first big girl job. And that's not to belittle any role you've been a part of to build your flight hours, such as a CFI. That's important work. But what I mean by big girl or big boy job is somewhere you could potentially park your 401k. And if you're not ready for this move yet, that's okay. It's still really good for you to know what's out there lying in wait for you. So if you're watching this on YouTube, get ready to take some notes. And if you're listening while driving, just take some mental notes and save this episode to review it later. And of course, this information will change over time, so be sure to just keep up with the companies that you are interested in. And not all the companies I'm going to be talking about today are currently hiring. I just want you to know what your career options are. So I'm very well aware that a lot of you guys that are in flight school are probably being geared up by said flight school to go to the airlines, which is very common. These pilot pathway programs will help you get there if you do want to go to the airlines, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, flying all over the world in Dreamliners, 787s, and being gone potentially days at a time. Being an airline pilot is a fantastic job, so I will talk about these today. However, I want you to know, young Padawan, that there is more to aviation than airlines. A lot more. So that's what we're going to talk about today, my friends. There were over 200 companies at WAI this year, and every single one of them had something to do with aviation in some way, shape, or form. I took so many business cards, shook so many hands, and tried to take as many notes as possible so I could just try to remember these amazing people that I met. And you might even hear and see them here on my show. While I was at WAI, I was able to purely enjoy my time, chatting with anyone and everyone that I could, just making connections and having fun, because I wasn't on the prowl. I wasn't trying to snag an interview here or there or find an in at a company I wanted, because I thoroughly love my job and I think it's only going to get better. However, I could easily feel the buzz, the anticipation, and yes, the anxiety of my fellow pilots as they flitted around the room with their pristine paperwork and confident smiles as they were waiting to get in line at American or a spot at United. Most of the bouncing on heels and vying for the pilot jobs were for the belles of the ball, the popular girls, the companies everyone knows and wants to know them. American, United, Southwest, and Delta. Now, just because most of the hype was centered around the four big kahunas, it doesn't mean other airliners weren't getting a piece of the pie. GoJet, Spirit, SkyWest, Frontier, JetBlue, Hawaiian, Alaskan, they were all jammed with sweet-talking pilots trying to get a job. And this conference is what made me realize how many pilots out there are looking for a decent job that pays well. Since a lot of you guys are hyper-focused on the airline route or the Part 121 route, let's go over some opportunities you need to know about if you want to do this. Starting with the majors that are generally more coveted, American, United, Delta, and Southwest. If you're new to aviation, then you need to realize that the likelihood of you getting a job at one of these major airliners right at your ATP minimums is next to impossible. Not impossible, but next to impossible. If you have a connection that can help you get there, awesome. If you have any connections at all, use these connections and keep them nurtured. Getting to the majors can take some time. The usual route is going to flight school, finishing all your certifications, going to build your time, probably as a CFI, getting into the regionals, and then possibly flowing into a major. The best and most efficient way to get to the majors is to join a pathway program. And every one of the four majors has a pathway program. And a lot of schools and universities that do flight training also have partnership programs with one or more airline. The difference between a pathway program and partnership program is not huge. A partnership program is a pathway program, but a pathway program is not necessarily a partnership program. To participate in a partnership program, you generally have to be a part of a flight school. For example, my flight school is partnered with SkyWest, and I think other ones now, so I'm a SkyWest cadet. When I joined SkyWest as a cadet, I didn't have to sign anything, but I did get to start building my seniority. And if I built my hours as a CFI, then I would get a guaranteed interview with SkyWest. And at the time I was in flight school, SkyWest was offering a $15,000 sign-on bonus, which I never took because I didn't know if I wanted to go that route, and I didn't. But I have friends who did go that route, and they're either now working for SkyWest as a captain, or they're going into other major airlines, or they're working for NetJets or something, which we're going to talk about them later. Now let's start with American Airlines. They have the AA Cadet Program, which is a Part 141 training program. This option can be rather expensive, as I've heard it can be over $100,000, whereas I paid about $60,000 for my training, and I know people who have paid even less doing Part 61 instead of Part 141. But honestly, if you have to get a fat loan to pay for it, it's fine. Yes, you're going to be paying interest. Yes, it's going to suck for a while, but you'll be making so much money at the airlines one day, you can pay it off pretty fast. American Airlines also has partnership programs with many flight schools. So make sure you ask that question before you choose your flight school. Ask them which partnership programs they have. And yes, of course, I do have a PDF for you guys for all the questions you should be asking flight schools before you choose one, and the link to that is in the show notes. Whether you choose to do the AA Cadet program or to do a partnership program through another flight school, you will have to go to one of the three regional carriers before you make it to the Big Mama. And those three are going to be Envoy, PSA, and Piedmont. Now, if you want one of these regionals in particular while you're flying your way to American Airlines, then you can go to each of their websites for PSA, Piedmont, or Envoy, and you can apply directly to their cadet programs. And Envoy has its own partnership schools as well. At this time, these three regionals will start you out at about a little over $90 an hour. And this is really common for most regionals, but the reason why American is so popular is because it's been around for a long time and has a good reputation, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon. American also has their own way of building up their hype, especially at conferences like WAI. For example, to get a meet and greet at American, you have to schedule a time beforehand or join the waitlist. You can't just walk up and talk to people. And if you're qualified and you're ready to join the airlines, then you're going to want a spot on that meet and greet. Because while you're chatting them up on the meet and greet, knocking their socks off, and you've already applied to the website, they may just invite you to an in-person interview right there at that conference. And once they have interviewed everybody at the conference that they deem worthy, at the end of it, they publicly announce all the rock stars that got a job offer with American. The amount of interviewees that get the job really depends on the industry at the time, but American Airlines does this at every conference they go to. Okay, moving on to Delta. Delta not only has their own flight academy, just like American Airlines does, but they also have three different pathway programs you can use to get into Delta, depending on where you are in your life. The Collegiate Pilot Path Program is partnered with universities to help get you to Delta through Endeavor first. Some of these universities are Middle Georgia State, University of North Dakota, and Embry-Riddle. The Certified Flight Instructor Path Program, or CFI program, is to get you to Delta through one of their partner schools if you are a CFI for one of them. These partner schools are U.S. Aviation Academy, ATP, Skyborne Airline Academy, and Superior Flight School. Lastly, the Company Pilot Path Program is pretty cool. It allows you as a Delta employee to transition into the pilot route, and you get a leave of absence to do so. And the two regionals that Delta is associated with are Endeavor and Republic Airways. And you can actually apply straight to Endeavor to be an FO or first officer once you hit your ATP minimums. And no, they don't even care if you have your ATP certificate or not. Republic Airways also has their own cadet program, and you do not have to be a brand new pilot to get into it. Where the cutoff is depends on your ATP minimums. For example, if your minimums are 1,500 hours, then they won't take you if you have more than 1,000 hours. And if your minimums are 1,000 or 1,250 hours, they won't take you if you have over 700 hours. So go ahead and hop on board that train if you want to end up at Delta. Now, just a heads up, there is a flight school called Lyft that will feed you into Republic. However, through word of mouth, I have not heard good things about this place. One of the things that I've heard is that it's basically impossible to change your CFI. And that should never be an issue. If you need to change instructors, you should be free to do so. But remember, no flight school is perfect, which is why you do your research before choosing one and ask the proper questions. Back to Delta. Their flight training is through the United Aviate Academy, and it looks like they train in Cirrus SR20s, which is pretty sick. United also has multiple pathway programs you can check out, from a partnership program at a flight school to a military pilot program. United's regional air carriers are Commuter, GoJet, and Mesa. After hitting your ATP minimums and getting your ATP certificate, you can actually go apply at GoJet and Commute Air and hopefully flow into United from there. All in all, not bad, but you have a better chance of getting into United if you use one of their Aviate programs. As a side note, the pilots I met that were working for GoJets at the conference seemed legitimately very happy to be where they are, so take that into consideration. Lastly, Southwest Airlines also has their own cadet program as well, called Destination 225. You can join the program as a student pilot or private pilot, but you have to show them how you plan to pay for the program ahead of time. Now, Southwest is not currently hiring, but I was told at the conference that they'll start hiring in April of 2026. They have 300 backlog applicants to go through first, and then they'll look at newer applicants, so keep that in mind. Now that we've covered the four big ones, let's move on to other airlines that you could maybe work at before you go to a major, or you may like it, so you'll just stay there for your career. Another coveted choice by many are the three partners, Alaskan, Hawaiian, and Horizon. And they have their own cadet program called Ascend Pilot Academy. And applications for Ascend Academy are opening this year, 2025, October 1st through 7th. So hop on that. After building your hours, you would work for Horizon first and then potentially flow into Alaskan or Hawaiian. If you don't go the pilot pathway program, you can still get into Horizon as a first officer. However, they do want experienced first officers, meaning they want you to have at least 200 hours experience in a Part 121. So if you're just now hitting your ATP minimums, this option will not work for you unless you're part of their pathway program. I was told at the conference that Hawaiian and Alaskan will be hiring at the end of this year in 2025, depending on manufacturing at Airbus and Boeing. This is a good enough reason for you to keep up with pilot news as well as aircraft manufacturing news. Frontier Airlines is another contender for you guys who have at least 1,500 hours of total time and have your ATP certificate, but there are other requirements too. Pro tip, Frontier Airlines hires from events like WAI, just like American does. So if you see that they're going to be at a conference and you want in with them, go set up a meet and greet, bring your resume, and make sure you've already applied online. Atlas Air is another one that I've heard relatively good things about. They are not currently hiring right now, but you can go ahead and go apply online to get your name in the hat. And to apply as a first officer for them, you only have to have 1,000 hours of fixed wing time and 1,500 hours of total time. Unless you have a restricted ATP, they need 1,250 hours of total time or 1,000 hours of total time. And if you're military, only 750. Global X is a company that flies passengers and cargo in Airbus. However, they are currently not hiring any first officer positions, but check back with their website because things can always change. Then, of course, for other airlines, we have JetBlue, SkyWest, Sun Country, and Spirit. All of them seem decent. I have a lot of friends at SkyWest, and I have heard mixed reviews. Some really like it, but most recently they're upset about the forced upgrade to captain, which has displaced a lot of them location-wise as it's moved their bases. Spirit Airlines, as many of you may know, filed for bankruptcy at the end of 2024. So just keep an eye on them, make sure they're doing okay. They seem all right for now. Regardless of the airline, see which programs they have, which ones you're interested in, and get after it. And remember, most of these cadet programs are aimed at student pilots. However, if you are farther along in building your hours, some of them may still let you apply. So just ask or apply anyway. Maybe some of you guys have come to the decision that the airlines are just not for you, and that's okay. Maybe you've decided right off the bat that you never want to try it. Maybe you have tried it and you're over it. Well, if you don't go airlines, what else can you do? The answer is a lot. So let's go over some of these other options for you guys, starting with charter companies or Part 135. The most popular charters I saw while at the conference are NetJets, Flexjet, and Jetlinks. And even though these are not the airlines, it doesn't mean you'll necessarily be home every night. Most of their schedules are like 8 days on, 8 days off, or 8 days on and 6 days off, whatever it may be. So just be aware of that. Let's start with NetJets first. They are very popular and they have 200 plus bases across the US and their salary starts at about $86,000 to $117,000. Their starting requirements are to have your ATP minimums, but just because you meet the minimums, it does not mean that someone else isn't exceeding them. And the representatives from NetJets at the conference stated that they want more experience and not just the minimums and a type rating. Because what I gathered at the conference is there are a lot of pilots around 1500 hours that have the minimums that are applying to NetJets and they're not hearing anything back. So it's pretty competitive. And that's probably because people are pretty happy at NetJets. They prioritize safety, they enjoy their coworkers, it's different flying than the airlines, and they promote from within. So if you want to get in at NetJets, get that resume padded and get some quality time and experience because they say they're going to be hiring 500 to 600 pilots this year in 2025. Another NetJets company that you could consider is EJM, or Executive Jet Management. And just like NetJets, they fly some pretty sick aircraft, but just because they are a NetJets company, it doesn't mean that there's any flow through. There's not. So if you work for EJM, there's no flow to NetJets or vice versa. And don't think that just because EJM isn't NetJets that the requirements are any less restrictive. Some things they want are 2,500 hours of total time, 500 hours of multi, and 250 hours of jet time. So you can't get there right away, but if you do find that you want to go to EJM in the future, you can set it as a goal for yourself. Besides NetJets and EJM, you can check out Flexjet. Flexjet hasn't been around as long as NetJets and their fleet isn't as large. But I've heard some good things from their pilots and their website does say that they are currently hiring starting at $103,000 a year. They only want 1,500 hours of total time and for you to have your ATP written complete. But just because they say that they're taking the minimums, it doesn't mean that you'll get a job if you have the bare minimum. In this job market, you need more. More volunteer work, higher grades, more quality time, or just more time in general. But if you've met the minimums, go ahead and apply. I'm sure you can update it later. Now let's get into Jetlinks. Jetlinks is a little bit different from the other ones I mentioned because they actually have their own pilot pathway programs, four of them to be exact. The ATP pilot pathway program is for pilots who are currently working at ATP, two different Destination 225 pathway programs through Southwest, and the SkillBridge pathway program for their Part 135 and Part 91 operations. So look at these programs and see if they might be good for you. If you're trying to get in as an SIC for Jetlinks, they do start at 1500 hours of total time. And last I checked, they do have some SIC openings in a few states. So go check out their website. But before you apply to these positions, double check the requirements as they do vary depending on the aircraft. Besides those highly coveted charters, I'm going to mention four more that you could consider. And these four don't require as many hours as the one I just mentioned, so pay attention. First, let's go over Cape Air. If you want to apply to Cape Air as a first officer, you have to be enrolled in their pilot pathway program, but the minimums aren't even that high to apply. However, if you want to be a PIC, the minimums are a little bit higher starting at 1200 hours, and they go up from there to captain at 1500 hours. Still, all in all, not bad. This place looks like it might be a good one for you to build some PIC multi-engine time, and the last I looked, they are hiring. You won't be flying any jets here at Cape Air, but they do have a pathway program to get you into JetBlue if you want to go to the airlines. Wheels Up is another pretty well-known charter company, and they have bases all across the United States and fly various aircraft. To be an SIC for them, you have to have at least 1,200 hours of total time, 250 PIC, 25 multi, and 75 of instrument. Sadly, they're not currently hiring, but I'm going to cover a couple more that are hiring and have less requirements. Advanced Air is a company that has bases in LA and Phoenix, and you could be flying a turboprop for them or even a jet. From what I've heard from the pilots, you get a hard 10 days off, there's good camaraderie with your coworkers, you'll be home every night, but the pay starts at about $55,000 a year. Downside. Everyone has to start somewhere though, and this could be a good place for you to build some quality time. And they do show they're hiring SIC positions on their website, and the requirements are a lot less than others, such as 900 hours of total time, 25 hours of multi-time, and 500 hours of PIC. Side note for you guys, when you're looking at a company that wants to hire you as a second in command, on aircraft such as King Airs or Pilatuses that don't technically require two pilots, make sure somewhere in the operation specs of the company that it states they require two pilots so you can actually legally log that time. It would suck to get a flying job where you can't even log the hours. Another fairly large charter company that operates as Part 91 and Part 135 is Contour. You won't be hopping on a Challenger Global here anytime soon as they fly ERJs, CRJs, and Citations. However, their requiring minimums are even less than those of Advanced Air. All they want are 500 hours of total time and 25 hours of multi-time. Contour actually has a pretty good pilot pathway program as well. After being a captain at Contour, you can transition to SkyWest as a captain, allowing you to participate in the pathway program to United Airlines and a guaranteed interview with Delta Airlines. Okay, moving on from charter flying into corporate and private flying. A lot of companies do multiple types of flying, such as charter, corporate, private, and fractional ownership. I know, guys, it's a lot to take in, but it's really good to know about this stuff before you start making your next moves. So I already mentioned some companies that do charter flying, of course, but I didn't really mention what that is. Charter flying is flying as Part 135, whereas airliners fly as Part 121. There are a lot of differences and rules between flying Part 135 and 121, but to break it down for you in the simplest of terms, Part 135 is a less regulated way of flying than Part 121. Corporate flying, on the other hand, is when you work for a company that owns or leases its own aircraft for their corporate operations, such as QT, Valero, or Walmart. A lot of corporations have their own jets. Private flying is when you fly for an aircraft owner. Say you know a billionaire who owns a Gulfstream and he needs a new pilot to fly his family around. And fractional ownership is where multiple people pay for one plane and share it. Kind of like a timeshare. Two companies I already mentioned do this, NetJets and Flexjet, but they're not the only ones. A couple more that were at the WAI conference are PlaneSense and AirShare. PlaneSense focuses solely on the fractional ownership operations, and they fly PC-12s and PC-24s. When I spoke to the rep at PlaneSense at the conference, he says all they want you to have are 750 hours of total time. However, to be more competitive, they want you to have your CFI, CFII, and 1,000 hours of total time. And he said at some point they will get you your ATP certificate. They're going to start hiring again this year, starting with their backlog applications. AirShare focuses on not only the fractional ownership, but also charter services. They operate Challengers and Phenoms, and they tend to have an 8 days on, 6 days off schedule. For you pilots out there who are close to your ATP minimums, but not quite yet, this may be a good option for you as their requirements start at 1,200 hours of total time. And yes, at some point, they're even going to cover your ATP certificate. So think about it. At the time of this video, they are hiring in Chicago and Charlotte. By now, I have mentioned your ATP certificate a few times. So if you don't know what that is, let me spell it out for you really quickly. If you want to fly PIC in Part 91K, Part 121, and some Part 135 operations, you have to have your ATP certificate. You can go get your ATP all on your own by signing up for an ATP CTP course, which stands for Airline Transport Pilot Certification Training Program, and taking your written at the end of it. To note, you cannot just go take the ATP written exam. You have to do the course, which costs around $5,000. Make sense? Great. Let's talk about cargo flying. Cargo flying can be Part 135 or Part 121, depending on the operations. And a lot of companies that do cargo flying also do passenger flying, but not all of them. A lot of pilots' goals is to end up in cargo. It's a pretty coveted position in aviation. And if you aren't at your ATP minimums yet, then I'm sorry, this section isn't for you guys. Let's go over these in terms of most required hours to least required hours. National Airlines flies Boeing and Airbus, and two of their requirements are 2,500 hours of total time and 500 hours of turbine. I already mentioned the airline Atlas Air earlier. However, I'm going to put them right here as well because they primarily do cargo, and the requirements remain the same. But if you're interested, check them out. Kalita Air flies Boeing, and not only do they want you to have 2,500 hours of total time, they also want you to have your ATP certificate already done. The Kalita rep that was there at the conference said that he really enjoyed the job. He said it was relatively easy. There are a lot of military there, and it's a 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off kind of thing. Air Transport International, or ATI, wants you to have 1,500 hours of total time, 250 hours of multi, and have your ATP certificate. Phoenix is a cool company. They do charter, cargo, and air ambulance. They want you to have 1,500 hours of total time and 250 hours of multi. Empire Airlines is a Part 135 and Part 121 operator, and they're a feeder into FedEx. Their requirements start at 1,500 hours of total time, 250 hours of PIC, 50 hours of MOLDI, and have your ATP certificate. However, I was told at the conference that they may give you up to $5,000 to complete your ATP course. And if you're in their Purple Runway program for 36 months, you could feed straight into FedEx. But FedEx itself is hiring at only 1,500 hours of total time and 500 hours of turbine. So maybe you can just go straight there. ABX Air flies Boeing, and they want you to have 1,500 hours of fixed wing total time and your ATP certificate. If you're not qualified to fly for ABX, you can actually fly for Air Cargo Carriers, or ACC, for 2 years as a captain and then flow into ABX. And ACC may even help you get your ATP. ACC also flows into Omni Air, which specializes in charter and wet leases, and ACC will give you a guaranteed interview with them. Amerijet flies Boeing, and they want 1,500 hours and for you to have your ATP. They also partner with schools like US Aviation, Embry-Riddle, and IAA to get into a first officer position with them. UPS is also a pretty coveted company as well, and they only want you to have 1,500 hours of total time, 1,000 hours of PIC, and your ATP cert. And the UPS rep at the conference told me to not apply on their website until you are fully qualified because the system will automatically reject you. So take note of that. Lastly, CSI Aviation, which does charter, cargo, and medical, want you to have only 500 hours of total time, but 250 hours of multi-time. I don't know about that one. Man, airlines, cargo, corporate, there is so much, right? Well, let's get into the second last category, medical. These four companies I'm going to mention should be on your future pilot list, as they are not for low-time pilots, but they could be pretty cool jobs if you think it'd be right for you. Air Methods flies the PC-12, and they require 2,500 hours of total time and 1,000 hours of PIC and more. Apollo flies the PC-12 and the King Air, so you may get some multi-engine time here, and they require 2,500 hours of total time, 500 hours of multi, and more. Life Flight is an air ambulance that requires you to have your ATP, 2,500 hours of PIC time, 1,500 hours of turbine time, and more. And Metro Aviation, which has locations all across the United States, requires at least 2,500 hours. Okay, so airlines, charter, cargo, corporate, etc., those are all the main pilot categories, but now I'm going to cover a few miscellaneous jobs, if you will. Let's start with Gulf Air Group. This is not your average flying gig, and it sounds pretty cool. This is mostly a job for military pilots, as some of their requirements are 1,200 hours of total time, 600 hours in large twin turboprop aircraft, and 100 hours of NVG, or night vision goggle experience. Moving on to the next one, in my personal opinion, I think working for Cirrus Aircraft would be a pretty good option for those of you who do want to be a career flight instructor. To instruct in their SR series, you only need 350 hours of dual given and 1 year of experience. If you want to instruct in their SF-50 or their Vision Jet, you need 1,000 hours of dual given and 3 years of experience. If neither of those miscellaneous jobs sound good to you, you could always work for Metrea. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Metrea is a defense company that does air-to-air refueling, aerial firefighting, and special mission aviation. They work globally, so you may not be getting a job in the United States. Their requirements vary depending on the aircraft, but they do have some job openings, so go check out their website if you're interested. Neptune Aviation may be a good option for you guys who are seeking a bit of a thrill while doing something good. They do aerial firefighting, and they're not currently hiring, but I was told at the conference to go ahead and send in your resume and cover letter anyway. Another potentially fun and really different route of flying would be to work for companies that do test flights for potential buyers, such as Textron. You'll get to fly all over the country showing off these aircraft to potential customers. Pretty sweet. And if you are a pilot struggling to find a flying job right now, maybe your next option is to go to a simulator company like CAE or Flight Safety. While you won't get to do any real flying, you will get great practice in some awesome simulators while learning a valuable real-world practice, crew resource management. And you could make some baller real-world connections after meeting some people who may want to hire you after being in the simulator with you. The role you're looking for at CAE is called supporting crew member, and the one at Flight Safety is called second in command. If you work at CAE, they pay $20 an hour, and after working for them for 2 years, they'll pay for you to get a type rating in any aircraft you want. Hopefully you have a flying job before those 2 years come around, but if you do get a type rating, make sure you think about how you're going to get a job in that aircraft type. Flight Safety, however, does not offer a free type rating, but they do have better pay as it's a full-time position and they pay $60,000 to $70,000 a year, whereas CAE is a part-time job. And if you do apply to these places, it's okay if you don't know the aircraft for the position for which you're applying. They just want to see that you have some kind of skills that will get you through training. All right, guys. Well, I hope you liked at least one of those companies that I covered. And do you remember when I mentioned how you may need to pad your resume to be more competitive? Well, a good way to do that is by joining some aviation organizations and participating in them. Some of these organizations are ones like I mentioned earlier, such as AAAP, the Arab American Aviation Professionals, ISA Plus 21, NGPA, the National Gay Pilots Association, WAI, the 99s, OBAP, Women Military Aviators, Latin Professionals in Airspace, EAA, which is Experimental Aircraft Association, and Women in Corporate Aviation. And that's just to name a few. There are plenty more out there if you want to look into it. Let's close this out with some final tips and advice. If a company doesn't look like they're hiring, you can still send them an email with your resume and cover letter. If there's no way for you to include an attachment like your resume and cover letter, then include a link to your LinkedIn profile and make sure your LinkedIn profile is up to date with your resume and cover letter. I briefly mentioned this one earlier, but make sure that when you are looking to apply for a company that flies King Airs and PC-12s, that you ask about their op specs or their operation specs. And that's to make sure that you can properly log that SIC time. Depending on what that op spec says in regards to flight crew, you should be able to log SIC time and total time. Depicting this verbiage in regards to the FAR is quite convoluted, but what else is new? I'm adding clarification to this topic to the list of questions I'm preparing to mail to the FAA. When deciding where to go, which airline to choose, always consider the bases. If you're up to adding more stress and work to your life, then you can always commute, but if you don't want to commute, make sure you like the base. Remember that if you're military, your required hours could be cut down quite a bit. Before choosing a company, always look up news on said company to make sure that they're not in trouble or something. To apply for a lot of major companies all in one place, create a profile and start prepping your info in airlineapps.com. And when looking for jobs, there are a couple of other resources that are good besides talking to pilots and FBOs, such as jsfirm.com, pilotcareercenter.com, and pilotsglobal.com. That's it. This episode is finally over. I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry it took forever. It was just a lot of information I had to throw at you guys. But you know the drill. To support me and all this hard work I do for you guys, please like this video and subscribe to my YouTube. And if you're listening on the podcast, please rate, review, and follow my show. Keep up your job hunting, find out what kind of flying you want to do, and I'll see you later, aviators.